Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He works with Andy on the Browns pregame show. He works with me on the postgame show. He's our buddy Tyvus Powell.
Hi, Tyvus. Tyvus.
Hello, fellas. How you guys doing today?
Oh, sunshine and rainbows. Folks are really happy and optimistic about the upward trajectory of this football team.
And Andy has a jumbo-sized bingo card today.
Yes.
And they've all been scratched off already.
In case you were playing along and you say any of these names, they will be in there. Vrabel, Flacco, Baker, 64-game Texans, DeSean Jackson, Schwartz, Jacoby Brissett, things you learn in science class, Mahomes and Kareem.
All of those. Been that kind of a day.
We're splitting atoms at one point. That's the things from science class.
Let me ask you a specific question. We've talked about this. We touched on it yesterday. I double-checked some things. According to my calculations, I think I've got it right. In four games so far, the Browns offense has scored six touchdowns. Three of those came on the first time they touched the ball. So half of their six touchdowns, the first time they touched the ball, their first possession. That means there are a lot of possessions without a whole lot of touchdowns. How can a team be so good the first time they have the ball and then not be able to either adjust or call things that work as frequently the rest of the time?
Well, due to the fact, it's a lot of things that go into that. Obviously, you know, it's a lot of scheming up, you know, a lot of seeing what they like to do, and it's a fill-out process in their first drive, and that's why you see a ton of success in that. And on top of all of those things, over the course of a game, guys get fatigued, guys get hurt, but in their first drive, guys are 100% healthy, they're ready to go, they know their assignments, they're locked in, you know, their emotions is not over the best of them. All of those things do play a factor. And I do think that we just have to do a better job of being able to readjust to the adjustment that other teams have made, which, like I say, I thought he did a decent job of that. I think it was a point in time where, you know, the line started to break down a lot and the Raiders' defense stepped up and made some plays. I mean, I know that people don't want to hear that because the Raiders are not supposed to be this good team, but I thought they stepped up and made some really good plays overall. I still think the biggest miss is the Juan Jones holding or not picking up that block for Amari Cooper's touchdown. I think that would have been huge. I thought that was a beautifully designed, schemed-up play that didn't happen. So it's not that they can't score. It's just things happen over the course of the game that cause them to not to score when they do make adjustments to the adjustment that the other team has made.
Hmm. Did you think that was a hold, by the way?
No, I didn't actually. I actually thought that was kind of like what you're supposed to do. I feel like they always let you get a little thing. I think Myles Garrett get done way worse than that on a day-to-day basis, on a game-to-game basis.
Good point.
It don't get called. So, yeah, I didn't think that one was an egregious hold.
Okay. What do you do with the quarterback? Scott Petrak was with us who writes for the Chronicle-Telegram, and I asked him about the offense and everything else, and are they trying to tailor an offense for DeSean, a square peg round hole with the rest of the team? And I thought he made a point that it's valid. Is force enough time? Don't you have to give an offense time to work? Is that valid, Tyvus?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a lot of things that went into this. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit on the pregame or on the postgame show. You know, when you don't do preseason, when you don't practice all the time, like, you're behind the eight ball, and these guys are still trying to figure things out. And you can at least say that DeSean has looked better each game that he's been out there. I think that is something that people can agree upon. No, it's not been perfect, but he has looked better. And the thing about it is, if they really did install a new offense, I know a lot of people look at, like, Baltimore, and a lot of people look at all these other teams that get these new OCs, and it just click. It doesn't always work like that. It usually it takes some time for it to all gel together. And to me, you know, it's at least it's headed up to me. Like, I don't think it's like one of those things where I'm like, this thing needs to be scrapped, because I do think it was plays that was made. It was plays that could have been made, you know, where I was like, okay, I can see at least some positivity in the offense. I'm hoping now that we hit the quarter part, because They didn't play in the preseason. The preseason is 3 games, but let's say that it was 4. They just got out of the preseason. So I'm hoping from here on out there's better execution. I know that it's a lot of health concerns with guys, especially on the offensive line, getting banged up. But now that they played 4 games together, they know what it is. They have a feel for each other. It should look better. The only thing that bothers me is still the run game. I think that was what was the difference between the Raiders and us yesterday? They found success in the run game. And obviously the team that finds the success in the run game usually goes on to win. And that was something that we didn't have yesterday.
Tyvus, what should the coaching staff be responsible for? I mean, it's easy for me to say, can you blame the coaching staff? But tell me what ultimately they are responsible for on game day.
Oh, game day, they are responsible because they should make sure that their guys are 100% ready. There should be nothing that happens on the course of that field that players should be like, oh my God, what is this? Or they don't know how to respond to it. They don't have an answer to it. Even if it was foreign, they should be able to draw something up on the sideline and make sure that these guys are able to adjust and be able to handle those things. That is the job of a coach, to make sure that everybody at least is prepared for game day duties. It's also their job to make sure that they get everybody's morale up. Even when things aren't going great, you know, usually it's a coach. But obviously players do it more majority of the time, but those coordinators usually get guys going. They usually say something to motivate the whole team and get them going, head coaches as well. As far as, you know, timeouts and clock management, that goes on the head coach, and he should know those things. So, you know, I do fault him a little bit for, you know, the mishap at the end of the game, letting the clock run down, then trying to do a hard snap and then calling the timeout. That was kind of – I didn't like that either. So I kind of blamed him for that.
Tyvus Powell joining us from the Browns Radio Network. And Tyvus, former NFL defensive back, Ohio State Buckeye, Bedford Bearcat. The defense has not been locked down, top-notch, shut down, big time. But it hasn't been bad. Well, is there an issue, or is it just a work in progress?
The thing is, it shouldn't be a work in progress, because when you decide to run it back, you know, you have chemistry with these guys. These guys know it's not like it's a new defense. They know everything that goes into being successful. You know, when I look at this defense, the only issue that I have with it is, to me, it feels like they thought they arrived. Like, they thought that last year was, oh, yeah, last year we had all this success, so we just going to redo it again, and it's going to be the same thing. We ain't got to put in that much work. And that's not the case. Everybody knows that it's hard for it to be a number one defense multiple years in a row, you know, and right now it's looking like the anomaly. Like, don't get me wrong, they're playing good defense, and they're keeping points off the board. But I just don't see the takeaways. I don't see the sacks. I don't see that aggressiveness like I did last year, and that's the thing that I think is missing. You know, you see they get a turnover yesterday, and it changed the whole trajectory of the game. That team looked like it was going nowhere up until that fumble happened. And once that fumble happened, you see everybody the energy got high. Everybody started to try to make plays, because that's what you get when you got a defense, you know, that's making plays. And I think that if you look at this year and look at last year, I think that's the one key thing that's missing. Don't get me wrong, I know Myles Garrett is hurt. Myles Garrett is out there on, like, no feet. He's playing with no feet right now. He's the only person getting sacks. I think they had 2 sacks on the game, both from him, and he's only playing, like, 20 snaps out of, like, 60. So, like, that to me is alarming, that a guy that nobody else has stepped up to be able to make plays out, and you got to depend on a guy who's probably at, what, 80%? Like, that to me is alarming.
At what point do you start thinking, maybe I should trade somebody?
Well, I'm going to give you the Cleveland Browns answer. We're always looking to see what we can do to
upgrade. Good answer.
They're always going to look to see what they're supposed to do to upgrade this team. So, you know, the thing is, you know, you look at the market, you see what you can get, you see what it takes to get certain upgrades. But it's not going to be cheap at all. Obviously, it's going to cost you something big. And, you know, they want to stock draft capital. I mean, they finally got their first-round pick back, so they were really looking forward to, you know, having a successful draft this year. But if you got a guy, and first of all, you're at the point right now where it's almost at that point to where you're going to either punt on this season or you're going to go for it. And you're going to lose the locker room if you continue to go, like, 1-5. Like, you can lose an entire locker room over that. So right now you're 1-3. You got to try to make some magic happen over these next courses of games to try to keep everybody interested, because if they check out, it's nothing you can do. So I think that, yeah, you got to find a way to try to bring some spark back into that locker room. Even though I think those guys are motivated, I don't think that's the case. I just think it's execution and it's consistency. But you got to keep those guys motivated in some way, and maybe a trade might be what it is.
Hmm. Okay. There's motivation for you. Tyvus, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Tyvus.
Go Browns. And you know what? The Buckeyes are doing well, so always go Bucks.
There you go. Thanks, bud.
See
you. Talk to you next week. Tyvus Powell joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we're talking about the Browns and their loss to the Raiders yesterday. It was 20-16, 10-0 lead. Scored the first two times you had the ball, and your offense didn't score again. That's
bad?
It's starting to baffle me, Andy, if you want to know the truth. I mean, we've seen them. On one hand, I commend them for being so good at the beginning of games. And they've scored 6 touchdowns this year, as we've mentioned. 3 of them have come in the first possession of the game. That means every other possession, over 4 games, the offense has scored 3 touchdowns. That's bad.
It's pretty noticeable, too.
Well, it sure is. It makes you Isn't it weird?
Yeah, I'm really excited after they score the first time. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to be able to run all over these guys. And then all of a sudden you're like, so much for that.
You know, that's the funny thing about it. And I agree with you. It's like, man, you just put together a great drive. This is going to be a great offensive day. Nothing.
And then it leaves you hanging all day going, well, they did that in the first drive. They're going to be able to do that anytime they want.
Yeah, and they can't. Jason is in the home of the Browns, Berea. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey, anybody got any boxes? You see anybody walking out of the facility today?
Hey, Andy.
Yeah.
Harrison Bryant. Bingo.
Oh, I don't think I had Harrison Bryant on there. No. You'll get him up. You'll get one. You'll get one. I'm sure you will.
I'll try. Nobody's able to, like, put their, you know, finger on the pulse of, like, what it is, like, why, you know, just the whole offense, why it's, you know, starting off the 4-for-4 in the first 4 games of scoring on the opening drive. And I think, obviously, I'm not, as Watson likes to say, I'm not in the phone room, but I think that, you know, Kevin Stefanski's been calling games pretty conservatively, and that you could do, like, on the first drive if you have it all set up. But as the game goes on and things start to break down, you got to get a little bit more, you know, out of the box. And, like, you know, they say, like, the football jargon, like, push the ball downfield. Like, it's kind of Watson's style and how he was successful in Houston, if you really think about it. And I was just wondering what you guys think about that when it comes to Watson. I'm not saying I'm a big Stefanski guy, but do you feel like Kevin Stefanski, or if it's Ken Dorsey, or I don't know who it would be on, but are they being a little bit too conservative when it comes to, you know, taking shots downfield and, you know, making those risks? I feel like Kevin Stefanski is being a little bit too conservative when it comes to that.
I wonder if he's being too conservative or if he's trying to protect his quarterback because he doesn't think his offensive line can hold up long enough for him to get the ball downfield. That said, Deshaun might not be getting rid of the ball quickly enough anyway.
So the truth is, I'm saying Deshaun Watson has always been a guy that stayed in the pocket. Like, he was never a great pocket presence guy. Even in Houston, he was always taking more sacks than, you know, he should be. But it could be like, you know, if you are a team like the at the end of the season, the Browns, when they had Flacco, it was more or less the same offensive line. But what they were doing was they were a pass pro team, and essentially if they had that mindset of, like, we're just gonna push the ball downfield regardless of our offensive line, I feel like teams just kind of figure out a way to get it done regardless of their offensive line. If they just, you know, have their receivers just running deep routes and not, you know, cutting to the middle of the field. More often than not, if you watch the Flacco deep balls, most of them were downfield on the sideline. There was not much the middle of the field stuff that, you know, Kevin Stefanski has been calling as of late.
Jason, thank you. It just seems all out of whack right now. And remember, the one thing about last year was Watson had, I believe it's the exact same record in games of that counted that Flacco had. They both won games. Flacco looked better. Andy's wrinkling his face.
No, I'm just trying to remember, that's all.
Yeah, it was
Wait, oh, you said Flacco.
Each guy.
Sorry, dude.
No.
You said him twice, yeah.
I didn't.
No, you did.
Jake just did.
Okay, Jake.
You missed it.
Did he say twice or no?
I think he said it once.
Once, okay.
There's only one Flacco spot on the bingo card, isn't there?
He's up to four on your bingo card. I'm doing a rolling total, and we'll be doing this for 2 days now.
Let's go to Los Angeles, California. Happy Tom joins us. Hi.
Hi, Angry Tom. Happy. What's up, Angry Tom?
Hey, guys. Look, in my anger management classes, they talk about therapy, of it talking through your issues. So
yes.
Hear me out. Stefanski, I'm disappointed. We're going to learn from this. I'm going to learn from this. I have to do better every friggin' week. Seriously? Shut up. Okay? It's still early in the season. We need to make adjustments. All that. Over and over and over. Watson, averaging 5 yards a game for the first four games of the year. Seriously? We're paying this guy $30, $40 million to throw 5 yards? Chubb can do better than that. Get rid of this guy. Haslam's ego. Shut up. Dump the guy. Put in Winston. He can do better. I am sick and tired of the same excuses every week. Do a better job. Quit saying it's early in the season. They're driving me freaking crazy.
Do you feel better? Oh, did he hang up? Oh, man.
He dropped the mic and he left, Andy. That's the way you're supposed to do it right there.
No, that anger management class is not working. You need to talk through at the end. You need to get it off your chest. And then we need to all take a deep breath and go, oh, I do feel
better. Oh, no, as someone whose job it is to make sure our license remains intact, yeah. I'm thrilled he hung up there.
Okay, good job.
Yeah, now, in fact, more should hang up at about that.
Now, interesting, he brought up a number of topics, none of them on the bingo card.
Now, think about this. If you're in Los Angeles, that guy's hopping in the car and driving in Los Angeles now, as if it's not bad enough.
Yeah, that's bad for him. I feel bad.
Jack is in Solon. Jack never gets that angry. Jack is always very analytical. Jack?
I'm not angry.
See? He's analytical.
The last caller doesn't know what he's talking about. I just need to tell you that much. The problem is not Deshaun Watson. It's not early in the season. The season is over, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
First of all, we're at the quarter point, which means we're on a pace to win 4 or 5 games. Maybe we'll win 6, but that's beside the point. Here's the problem with the team. My son and daughter-in-law went to Vegas against my better judgment, but they went to Vegas because they wanted to see Vegas and they wanted to see the Browns. And they had great seats and they were able to view the Browns sideline and bench.
Oh, here we go. Uh-oh. Inside info.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Here's the problem.
Is this the Watson and DeJuan Jones thing?
Well, that occurred during the game. And, of course, DeJuan Jones can't move. And so that was probably warranted, although you don't do it. You don't do it then. You may do it in the locker room. But the point is that the front office and Stefanski's lost the locker room for this reason. I think the main problem starts with Cooper. Now, they tried to trade Cooper. He knows that. The way he's playing, and I think they brought it up in the broadcast yesterday, I think he leads the league in drop passes thus far, as far as through the first four games. And that's not him. He's totally disinterested. And that has permeated through the locker room. And he doesn't want to be here. He'll probably get traded at the trade deadline, and then where are we going to be? But the problem is in the locker room, and I don't know how you fix that. Yes, our offensive line is horrible. I don't know how you fix that. But the main problem is the locker room and the demeanor of the players on the sideline, which they were right there and they viewed the whole thing. They're not into it. And even the defense is bad. This defense, the way it's playing, is totally overrated. And so how do you fix all that? I don't know, because it goes beyond just coaching and reviewing the tape to see what we can do better. Next game is the Commanders. No, that's not enough. We're going to get rocked by the Commanders, by the way. So the answer is it's the locker room. It's Cooper being disinterested, and that's permeated the whole team. I don't have an answer, but that's the problem.
Jack, that's an interesting thought. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Jack and Solon.
Is your best player your hardest worker? I think most coaches will ask you that on any team. Is your best player your hardest worker?
I don't know how you quantify such a thing, especially on a team that has anybody that's 70 ever played players.
A team, anybody that's ever played a team sport knows who the hardest worker is at practice.
I've played a team sport.
And you wouldn't know who the hardest worker was at your own practice?
Not if I'm playing offense and the guy's on defense.
You don't go up against him every day in practice?
How do you judge that, Andy?
Jeff, you know, I mean, it's called respect.
You got 70 guys out there on the football field. He's without question the hardest worker because the rest of us are dogs.
That's not, no one's saying anyone's a dog. What I'm saying is your best player needs to be your hardest worker. Those are winning teams. Winning teams see that. What do you think Kobe Bryant was? Do you think Kobe Bryant was the hardest worker on that team?
There's 15 players, you could tell.
But you can tell that in football too. Guys know who the hardest worker is at practice. There might be a couple of them, but you know who your best player is too. Who do you think they think is the best player in Kansas City? How hard does Patrick Mahomes work? I don't know. I mean, somebody else, but I do know they're a championship team. Championship teams start when your best player is your hardest worker. I'm not saying I know or I don't know, but I can tell you a good team if I walk into practice and I'm like, damn, that guy's working hard. And you go to turn to somebody
who's the there Browns every hardest day. Worker?
I don't know. I don't know. And I think they don't know either. And when he brings up something like that, you're trying to figure it out. That's how you don't know who your locker room is. I don't know who the hardest worker is. I don't. Nick Chubb might be your hardest worker.
He's not there right now.
So
Tony's in Brecksville. Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
End of you.
Good morning.
Hey, I have a good feeling story. I went to the Giants game. I got season tickets. I had them for 37 years. My brothers think I'm crazy every year. They say, you're going to renew your tickets? Absolutely. So my son moved his family from Connecticut to Cleveland. And Andy, you're going to love this. My grandson goes to Heights High.
Heights High. Yeah. I might have talked to him last week.
He's a freshman there. He's a freshman. I converted him from a Patriots fan to a Browns fan.
Good job, nice job, Tony. Tony, that's. I wish we had something to give you.
Good work, Tony.
So I took him to his first game. He was in awe. The look on his face, and he was wooting and woofing and doing everything. So, of course, we lose the game. And as we go home, we went to the Heights Grill for dinner, everybody.
Nice.
And good food there. And my wife says to Dante, hey, I'm sorry you lost your first Browns game. And he said, oh, that's okay. I was able to spend the day with Pops.
Ah,
how great is that?
That's great. Good story.
It's worth the season tickets. It's worth it.
There you go, Tony. Congratulations. Yes.
Apparently, you're going to need to loan your grandson out to most people in the fan base.
Yeah, that's true.
That would make everybody feel better.
He got to hang out with his grandfather for the day.
That was very nice.
Yeah, you know what? I feel better about the Browns game just after that phone call. He's changed my world.
Well, he combined a father-grandson deal with Heights High.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I mean, you know, that went right to your heart.
Oh, he did. That was a heartstrings call. You're right.
By the way, gents, new Heights High drop, yay or nay?
Heights High?
Heights High!
Oh, is that how I was that?
We like it.
Is that from last week?
That is. That's the only thing I grabbed from your speech. You did a really good job on that speech, by the way. Well done.
Thank you. Jeff won't listen to it. I know.
I think it's the new high tie speech.
High tie. That's a little overmodulated.
It's a little. Yeah, I like the regular one, the old one.
Okay, fine. We can't have.
Let's hear the old one again.
High tie.
Yeah, I just go with that.
Okay, fine.
What do you think?
I don't know if we just bring it down a little. I can go back and read. I can fake it. I can go reread the speech if you want.
I like the other one.
Did you cry?
No, it's okay. We're not allowed.
Did you cry?
We're not allowed to change anything. Just keep it all the same.
Exactly. That's why they're 1-3.
No, bigger question. Did you cry when you watched the speech?
No, I did not. But
you choked up?
I did not, but I could tell. Like
It was touching.
It was touching.
Yeah, it was.
You did a really nice job.
That's not me. That's Gavin McIntyre.
Yeah, he did a very nice job.
He did. Yes. Okay.